Welcome to Heal Yourself, Change Your Life. My name is Brandi Gilmore, and after recovering from my own life-changing injury, it's become my mission to share with others the same discoveries I made that changed my health and my entire life. Our minds are truly incredible. The placebo is proof of this. Each week, I will take this simple awareness to a whole new level. I will even coach live callers to free themselves of physical pain using only their mind. And then I'll provide you with a combination of practical and spiritual insights that you can use to master your mind, your emotions, and your energy to help you heal your health, yourself, and your life. Let's begin. Hello, and welcome to this week's IQ segment. And so, of course, we're going to be talking about exactly that, the IQ, the insights and questions. And I have to say, you're going to love today's episode. It is super insightful. It is going to make you think, and we'll look at parts of the brain that are counterintuitive and places that basically cause a lot of people to get stuck or not get the results that they're wanting. And so that's where we're going. And again, just it's really going to make you think and look at things in a different way, which is awesome because that's, of course, what you need to do to get results in your life. And so there's that. But first, before I dive in, I wanted to take a moment to wish everybody a most wonderful Mother's Day. You know, all of you mothers out there just sending so much love. I hope that you had a wonderful Mother's Day and felt so loved and celebrated. And of course, I hope you feel loved and celebrated and appreciated on a regular basis, but just hoping that you took some extra time out this last weekend and were able to really enjoy. And of course, everybody else out there, all of you fur baby mommies and everybody else, I hope that you were able to connect with your mom and take some time to do that. You know, our love and connection in life, as we've been talking about on the last episodes, and as you know, just so important. And so I hope that you were able to take some time and really enjoy. And by the way, on that note, I do have to give a quick shout out to my mother, Debbie. You know, she's just a wonderful human being. And even though things weren't always in the past so perfect with her, they really were perfect. And, you know, just times of growth and different things and where they are now, they're just so beautiful. And I appreciate and love her. And, you know, and I'm just grateful. I'm really grateful. And sometimes in the past, whenever there was something that was challenging, it always was a place for me to be able to grow. You know, anything that bothered me, it was like, oh, okay, well, what is my trigger to that? Why is that coming up? And just really, I mean, our family can be our biggest place of growth. And I love that. And coming through my injury and you know, it was a lot of things that I worked on with all kinds of things, you know, just everything, not just injury related, but every area of my life. And by the way, speaking of which, I have to share with you just a moment of that, because when I got better, and I was, you know, working on walking without a cane. And then there was this phase where I was really working on walking fast and even running. And as I was getting better, I mean, I was just, it had been a lot of years, you know. And so as I was getting better, I started going to like the elementary school that was in my neighborhood and working on. And so I was working on running, and I would go down to the local elementary school and I would work on practicing running. And I felt like I was, you know, just really getting there. I was to the point where I wasn't stumbling or tripping over my own feet, which was a great thing. And I was just getting better and better at it. And so I had a friend actually film it for me. And I mean, the film looked a lot different than it felt as I was doing it. I mean, when I was running, I felt like the wind was in my hair and I was running fast. And of course, when I looked at the video, it was more like a limp jog type of thing going on. But of course, I mean, it was great. It was huge progress. But either way, I sent it to my mother because she lives in another state. And so I sent the video to her and she just watched it over and over in tears. And it touched my heart. And what I love the most is that at the very end of the video, it was like a 1 to 2 minute video, but at the very end, I said, "It looks like I'm going skiing this year," right? Now, I was nowhere near ready to go skiing. But what had happened was that every year my family would always get together and go on a ski day, where everybody get together and they go skiing together. And of course, because I was injured, I never got to go. And so when I sent it, it was like, "Looks like I'm going skiing." And even though I did not end up going skiing that year, I just was not ready. I went the next year and my mother and I took a special trip and just went. And it was the sweetest thing. She then blew up a picture of her and I, just sitting there on the ski lift together. And it just touched my heart in the most beautiful way. And, as I mentioned, her and I, we've had our ups and downs. Even when I moved out of the house when I was 17, it was a little early and we've had some bumps along the way. But I just love where things have landed. And of course, it took some work, but it was worth it. And I really just love where things ended up and they just keep getting better. And so I love that. And of course, going back to my injury, all of that, that was over 13 plus years ago that she was watching that video somewhere in there, 12 years ago. But anyways, point being is that if things are a bit rocky inside you with your relationships or whatnot, then you'll definitely want to look at that and see if you can clear that, if not for them just doing it, at least for you to help you continue to create even better connections and relationships in your life. All right. And so anyways, diving into today's IQ episode, it is, as I mentioned, counterintuitive. And, the last episode, by the way, where we talked about meditation and things going on with that, I have to say, I'm so impressed with you guys. Like, I was just flooded with emails coming in, and I love that, and still coming in, of people having insights and epiphanies and just a new awareness. And it's just so impressive. And of course, some of it's also where people are emailing in going, "Oh my God, like I get it now." And just, if you see the amount of people who are constantly feeling more spaced out, or I've had so many people writing in where, they've had a lower IQ and they feel like they can't focus, and people even getting fired on jobs because they're spaced out the whole time and they can't learn. And I mean, it's just a lot of the things that I'm seeing, and it's again, just continuing to increase. And so just something you want to pay attention to. But, I have to say, out of all of the emails that flooded in, so many different epiphanies, so just awareness, really impressive. Also, a lot of people loving the exercise, just simple but profound, and so I love that as well. And I have to say, out of all of the people who messaged in, there was one email from a person who was feeling defensive and protective. And to be honest, I kind of wondered if there wasn't going to be a few more, because I know how people are and get stuck in the old ways of doing things or their patterns, or, even take it a bit personally. And that's what I saw come up. And I just want to talk about that for a moment, just because likely there's a few more people that felt this way as well. And it's this, this person's email, when they were writing in, just wrote in, and said, "Okay, well, I've studied under this person and this person and this person," and named a lot of top people that they've studied with. And what was interesting in the email, first and foremost, is that in this email, the person also defined several health issues that they're still dealing with. And so with that, kind of up front, we can see that the person studied under a whole list of people and yet was still suffering from health issues. So it kind of also spoke to what I was saying. The very root of it is that, you know, that in my injury, and I see all the time where people go through one class after another, and they don't get the results. And you want to make sure that you're not just doing meditation, but that you're really creating a real change. So there's that. But the part that I really want to speak to also is that my goal is not to talk negatively about anybody's work. That's not the goal. Ultimately, my goal is just to get results and focus on that. And there are many reasons for that. I mean, obviously, I want to see people in our world happier and healthier. And we can look around and we can see that sickness has grown, depression, mental health, suicide. You know, we have a lot of things going on with the mind right now, and we need to be making some progress with it. And instead, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look around and see things have been getting worse and worse for a while now, and obviously much before COVID. And I would love to see that change. And also, I would love to see healthcare change, for people to start looking at it in a different way. Instead of feeling hopeless, I want people to feel hopeful and empowered, and it to be more of a individual feeling like, hey, they can do it, and they're not stuck like where I was, you know, told there's nothing that doctors could do for me. But I want people to get real results. Now, to change our health system or really make any type of major shift, it's estimated that it takes about 25% of a population. Now, if you stop and think about it for a moment, if 25% of a population are going to make a shift and start looking at things in a different way, one key thing that we need to do is we need to be able to get results. Because if we're not able to get results, there's no way that we're going to be able to make a real social shift. You know, of course, people can say, oh, this works. You know, I'm sure that the mind works or spiritual healing works. But if we're not able to get real results and define those results, we're never going to create a real shift in consciousness if we're not really getting results and able to see clear results. And so that's part of the reason that I'm so focused on results, and because, you know, I don't want anybody to live in pain and suffering. So that's what's key. And by the way, there's really two things that I focus on for the social shift. And one of them is, of course, the results. The second one is also the unity of consciousness. And what I mean by that is, of course, to create a social shift, we need results, but we also need to all have a similar awareness of what is happening when we really get real results. Because if we see results, but we all have a different idea of what's happening, then there's no way we can create a real shift, a social shift, and start looking at things in a different, more empowered way. And if I break this down even further, what I mean is, if you stop and think about it for a moment, in the Bible, it says, a merry heart is a medicine to the body. Ill thoughts will dry the bones, which is basically like saying happy thoughts are healthier for the body, and stress will break the body down. And now, if you think about that for a moment, that was written in the Bible 3,000 years ago. So it's been in our world for 3,000 years. And yet, it's nowhere in our medical system. I mean, we've heard stress affects the physical body, and that's been proven over and over and over and over again. And yet still, it's not in our cultures, it's not in our communities, it's not being used when you really think about it. And so, point being is that if we can really start to see that each person has the power within them and the ability to start creating a shift, that is what's key. And so, again, point being is that the goal is not to say anything negative about anybody's work. It's really just about bringing together what does work and looking at that and simplifying it so we can see what works and how to get real results. And that's what's important to creating a real change in our world. You know, said another way, chances are that healing with the mind seems cutting edge to you. I know that when I started getting into it, it did to me, and it does to a lot of people. It feels very cutting edge, new age. And when you stop and think about it for a moment, again, it's in the Bible. So it's been around for 3,000 years. And if you think about Christian Science with prayer healing, and I mean, there's been so many different iterations, or metaphysics that's been around for, you know, so long. And when you stop and look at it, there are people, again, who feel like it's brand new. That would be like saying, oh my God, I feel like the pager is brand new. And, you know, pagers are outdated, but not thousands of years old. So when you stop and look at it, it's like everybody's mind keeps thinking something is new and cutting edge. And it's really just that it hasn't really made a change in our world. And I would love to see our generation, our time, this time in the world, where we actually make it a reality, where we bring it into our world and empower people, and that everybody knows that you can heal with your mind and what that would look like. And the vision of that just really excites me. And so that said, of course, focusing on results, and also as I'm seeing more and more people work with the mind, just wanting to share with you specific pitfalls and places that I'm seeing people get stuck, so you can, of course, avoid getting stuck in those same places. And, you know, even if you think about the last episode, we talked about the mental escapism type of pattern that can get linked up with things like meditation. But you'll want to be careful of mental escapism just in general, you know, because that is the energy that I see linked with Alzheimer's. And you may know that Alzheimer's has been increasing exponentially. And again, that is the energy, that mental escapism type of feeling that I do see linked up. And of course, it's not just meditation type things of building up the mental escapism. I mean, there are plenty of people that have a stressful day, and then the thing they want to come home and do is just watch TV and just try to mentally check out to avoid even thinking about anything, or even use drugs or alcohol or different things like that. But just that mental escapism feeling in general is, of course, what you'll want to avoid. And so that's what I want to go ahead and build on today, is I want to share with you another key insight and what you can do differently. And of course, my goal is to simplify things as much as possible. And that's what I am going to be doing with today's insight. But I also want to let you know it is pretty counterintuitive. So I'm going to ask you to follow along really closely, and I am going to just try to break it down and illustrate it very simply. And what it has to do with is it has to do with fear. You know, if you've been listening to past episodes, then you've probably heard me say more than once that every emotion is so different. And even the emotions like fear, afraid, terrified, scared, all of those are very different. And they're different how they work in the brain. And so what I want to talk to you about today is getting rid of fear itself. Because again, it is so counterintuitive. And when you stop and think about it for a moment, a lot of people are avoiding their fears or burying their fears. And that can keep you from healing. You know, if you start thinking about it for a moment, let's say somebody's walking around and they're going through life, and they have all these fears, but they're just burying them on the inside. And by the way, likely if I ask you, do you have any fears that have come up for you that you've simply buried, that are hanging out in your subconscious mind, just there in your nervous system? You know, chances are, if you're like the average person, you would say, yes, there are a lot of them for different reasons, and you might not even be able to think of any of them right now, but you might say, well, wait a second, I know there are plenty, I don't know what they are, because they've been reburied into the subconscious mind. And so ultimately what you want to do is make sure that as you're experiencing any type of fear, that you really change it, because all too often that's the other thing that happens, is that some type of fear comes up for people, and they just negate it and push it aside. And I did the same thing. Oh my God, I was a master at that. You know, some type of fear would come up and I would be like, that's ridiculous, and just kind of shove it aside. But again, it can keep you from healing. And by the way, as I was working on healing and getting better and better and better, in the middle of it, I had a fear come up and it actually set me backwards. And for like a week, I was backwards and I figured it out. And I was like, oh my God, I got to address this. But that was something that I had to fix in myself, and something that I see all of the time. And there are so many misconceptions about fear, which of course is the reason that a lot of people have underlying stress, underlying fears that are going on, that are really ultimately creating more and more problems in their health and in their life. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is fear specifically, because ultimately what you really want to do is identify and reprogram them. Not only do you want to do that because it will help liberate you, but it also helps change what it is that you're aligned with. So you're changing your programming, because ultimately at the core of fear is a broken pleasure pattern. And what I mean by that is the brain is miswired, and you don't want to just simply relax the fear. Instead, what you want to do is you want to fix the wiring. You really want to get good at programming your mind. And I'm going to give you kind of an extreme example first, and then we'll break it down even more. But let's say for a moment that somebody has a subconscious link of wanting to jump off of a cliff. Okay, so subconsciously, they want to jump off a cliff. Now, what happens is the conscious mind then all of a sudden will have this fear of falling off a cliff, or a fear of jumping off a cliff. And that's what will happen in somebody's mind and nervous system. It's like the very thing that's linked up in the subconscious mind is the thing the person starts having fear towards. And again, I'm going to break this down even more because there's a lot of different connections with this. Now, let's say there is somebody who is feeling lonely and not feeling a lot of love in life, and they're scrolling through social media, they're scrolling through Facebook, and let's say they're just looking at posts, and let's say that they see a post of somebody who got in a car accident. And let's say this thread has a whole bunch of comments in it. Now, for somebody who is feeling very lonely and unloved, what can link up in their mind in that moment is, I really want love and connection. And then their brain can say, well, all you need to do is get into a car accident and you'll have it. And that can get linked up in the person's mind. Now, what happens is that consciously, the person, of course, does not want to get into a car accident. But what will happen then in that case is that the person starts increasing more and more fear about the idea of getting in a car accident. Like, oh my God, like, I hope I don't get in a car accident here or a car accident there. Because again, at the subconscious level, their brain can be craving love and think and link up that, oh, well, this is how I get more love. And so that's what gets created. And again, this is just an example. There are so many situations, and we'll talk about some other ways that fear also gets linked up. So there's more to it, but this is very common, believe it or not. People will have fears, and their fear is really a broken pleasure pattern, like something that their brain is actually craving at a subconscious level, and then their conscious mind wants no part of it. It's like, oh, no, I do not want this. And that creates the feeling of fear. Now, if you think about it for a moment, let's say that somebody on a subconscious level wants to get in a car accident because that's what they've linked up is more love. And then the conscious mind says, oh no, I'm terrified of getting in a car accident. Now, the ultimate change that you want to have is you want to, of course, look at your subconscious mind and say, wait a second, there are much better ways to get love, and that's not going to equate to love, that's going to equate to hardship. Instead, love, all you have to do is give love or reach out and connect with somebody in a positive way, and there's so many positive ways that you can connect. So you'd want to change that subconscious link, right? But a lot of times what happens with people is that that subconscious link stays there because they never really look at the subconscious mind. And instead, they just try to relax away the fear or meditate it away and get rid of that fear. Now, if you think about it for a moment, is that really serving them? Did their life really change? Clearly, it didn't, unless they changed that subconscious programming. That's the reason why every single person in our world should know how to use their mind and what is really going on with your mind. You know, when you stop and think about it again, your thoughts help heal your body, change your life. What if everybody knew how to program their mind? And so we're going to talk about what you're going to want to do. Of course, obviously, you'll want to notice that if you have a fear towards something, then you'll want to shift that subconscious programming. You'll really want to look at why your brain actually is connected to something and wants it at a subconscious level. So you'll want to look for that and shift it. That's what's key, because when you create that shift, then the fear really goes away. Not only that, but you don't want to just relax the fear, but keep the subconscious link, because that, in a lot of cases, can just make you closer and closer to manifesting the things that you don't want in life. So then you do end up with this problem and this problem and this problem, because that's what's linked up. Okay, so that is the key insight, is that if you have fear, really understand in your mind why it is there, and then shift that specifically instead of just trying to calm your fears and relax to your fears and all of that. Now, there is another thing that I see all of the time with fear, and it's also this, is that if somebody feels like they're a bad person, they have patterns of guilt or feeling like they've done something wrong or feeling like they deserve punishment, what happens is that they feel like they don't deserve to have a great life. They feel like they deserve bad things to happen, in which case a person will think about negative things happening to them over and over and over again. We call this worry. You know, a lot of people just think when it comes to worry that they need to meditate and relax and escape their mind. And there's always something going on at a deeper level. Now, here we're talking about fear, and we're also talking about how, you know, if you have punishment patterns, different things like that. But there are a variety of different reasons why worry can get linked up. That's another pattern. But a lot of times it does have to do with fear itself. The thing that you'll want to note from this is that everything the brain does, it's doing for a reason. Everything. And in our culture, we have a tendency to just label the brain as having a problem and give it medications or antidepressants or anti-anxiety medications or different things like that, instead of really making that change at the core level. But again, that's what's important for healing and life transformation. And when you just make that change at a deeper level, that's when your mind really clears up. You know, if you think about the illustration that I used on the last IQ episode, where I talked about, you know, if you walk into a house and there's all these radio stations playing, and there's some that you like and some that you don't like, and instead of just trying to quiet your mind and not hear all the radio stations, the goal would be to identify the negative ones and really shift them to playing positive music, to playing things that you like. And so that said, again, is just, you'll want to ultimately create real shifts and real change in your mind, in your subconscious mind. And the insight is to look for the counterintuitive programming that's going on in your subconscious mind and empower yourself. Now, there is one other thing regarding fear that I do want to talk about, and it's this, It's that fear can also be a message to change your actions. Now, a simple illustration is if you picture somebody who is driving towards a cliff, and they're having more and more and more fear and more and more and more fear, and it keeps going up, well, they could work on their emotions. They could work on meditating or relaxing or trying to release it. But ultimately, if they just turn the car the other direction, you know, away from the cliff, the fear will go away, right? And so point being is that if you are experiencing fear, you will either want to change your mind programming or you'll want to change your actions. Now, when you stop and look at it for a moment, there are a lot of people who are negating fear, who are saying, you know, fear is fake, it's not real, just take action, or no fear, or there's even that acronym that says fear is false evidence that appears real, you know, where it's just fake, and so people negate it. Now, if you think about it for a moment, when it comes to health, you've been listening to the episodes where I help people to coach them to get radical results by creating a shift. Now, when you stop and think about it for a moment, if somebody's feeling a lot of fear, that is going to keep them from healing. And I see it all of the time. And so that's the reason I wanted to talk about fear, is because if that's something that's going on in your nervous system, it is going to be affecting you and it can keep you from healing and getting the results that you want. And again, we want to focus on results. All right, so that said, again, there is a difference between fear, afraid, and terrified and scared. Those are all different. And on an episode coming up, I am going to work with a woman who is scared at her core, and we'll talk about ways to shift that with her coming up. And that's a few weeks away. The next episode, actually coming up later this week, is where I work with a volunteer who got the vaccine and is experiencing a lot of symptoms or side effects like body aches and shortness of breath, unable to get a full breath, and headache and things like that, even 13 days out, and like no energy and all those things. And so that's what's coming up on the next episode. And of course, even if you're not somebody who is experiencing that, there are key insights that you can use to help you in your health and your life. All right. So that said, again, just a powerful insight, something to look at and reflect on and look in a different way. It's just very, very powerful. All right. So that said, it has been such a pleasure connecting with you, and I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode. I'll see you there. Thank you for listening to Heal Yourself, Change Your Life. All of the time, people reach out and say how much these episodes have given them hope or touched their heart or helped them stay positive in hard times or even woken them up to a completely new level of awareness of how amazing we all really are. If today's episode touched your heart or expanded your mind in any way, please do me a favor and be sure to share it with those you care about or those you know who really need it. As more and more people become empowered, it really will change our world for the better. That is the point and the power of these demonstrations, is to create a radical shift in our world consciousness by showing everyone what we are all capable of. And of course, each volunteer will really need to follow through to reinforce their programming to maintain their results. But the point is for you to see that you really can create rapid results in your health and your life if you really understand how to use your mind. You're incredible. And I do want to be clear, though, that most people will not get results this fast on their own. I make it look very easy because of the discoveries that I made. You'll want to remember that there's so much more going on in our minds at a deeper level than people realize. That said, if you want to send me any questions or comments, come visit me on my website at brandygilmore.com/podcast. And if you're currently experiencing physical pain and would like to be a volunteer on the show, you can sign up there as well. Lastly, please remember, if you do have any health issues, you won't want to avoid your doctors. Instead, you'll want to continue seeing them and make it your goal to blow their minds with what you're capable of with your mind. Thank you.